Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Joanne McCall, and today's program is for anyone who's looking for a job. Or if you know someone who is looking for a job, make sure they get their hands on this downloadable program because they'll be able to listen to it and they're going to get all kinds of fantastic information on how to do a job search in this day and age. I'd say this is also good for recruiters who want to tell their candidates what they should be doing. So anyway, I will leave it to the expert to get into all the details. And let me introduce you to Dana Manciagli. Now, Dana is a global expert and 30-plus year veteran Fortune 500 sales and marketing executive. She is the author of Cut the Crap, Get a Job, A New Job Search Process for a New Era. A recognized career networking and business thought leader, she is a sought-after speaker and a regular contributor to print and online publications. I mean, we are lucky to have her here today. She was named among Seattle's Women of Influence, sits on the Worldwide Board of Junior Achievement, and has her MBA from the Thunderbird School of Global Management. So, Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joanne. Pleasure to be here.
Well, in this day and age, Dana, I mean, how many people are looking for jobs? It seems to be so many people that I know, and things have definitely changed out there. So the first thing I want to ask you about is your book itself and the title, Cut the Crap. It definitely caught my attention. So tell me about that. What is the crap you're referring to?
Joanne, the crap comes in two forms, and after 30 years of hiring and coaching thousands, the two forms are common mistakes and common excuses that simply sabotage the innocent job seeker. So I want to put those out there in Cut the Crap, Get a Job. In addition to giving a brand new process, there is a better way.
Okay, well, let's go right into that. What is this better way? What do we need to be doing now?
Well, because today's era is so much more competitive than it ever has been in the past, so many job seekers, not just the unemployed, but the employed as well, who are looking to move their careers forward. Mm-hmm. So given that, candidates need to be better. They need to not only stand out, but they need to be the top gun and be the best candidate and the best fit for the hiring manager. So we're really changing the paradigm to pivot on what the hiring manager needs. Less about you, more about them.
Oh, I like that. Now, you speak from a great deal of experience. I mean, 30-plus years as a hiring manager in Fortune 500 companies, right?
Yes.
And you and just... Go ahead.
No, that's very different than a perspective of an HR person or a recruiter who recommends people to me, but I'm responsible for the hiring and they have to live with that decision of good hires and bad hires.
Ah, yes, that does make a big difference. Okay, so what do you look for in a candidate? What's the most important thing? How can someone be at the top echelon that you're talking about? How do we do that?
Well, first, representing hiring managers, I look at everything as a sample of how you'll be as an employee for me. And I think that's what candidates forget. So it starts from the very beginning about your resume and cover letter. And I look throughout. If there are typos, grammatical errors, anything less than great, then that is a concern for me. And that's just the beginning. So it really starts with how you present yourself in written form, presentation form, and verbally.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So it's really as you go about the search or preparing for the search, we're thinking about you as the end user, if you will. You're the decision maker, and so we need to think about you. What are people thinking about themselves? What are they thinking about usually?
Well, it comes from the old days of interviewing where you could walk in, and I call it the deck of cards approach, where you could just kind of whip out a bunch of cards, the ace of spades, the queen of hearts, and hopefully the person on the other side of the table will say, stop, I saw a skill I like. Those days are gone. Uh-huh. So now we need to read, candidates need to read those job descriptions very closely and pivot the whole presentation of themselves to their needs, to the buyer's needs. It's a buyer's market. So they have to drop the word I in a cover letter, for example. Instead, say, Mr. Hiring Manager, Ms. Hiring Manager, you need this. And by the way, I have that. You need 5 years of skills in finance. I have 8. That's the new paradigm.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. It really does, because as you said, it is such a crowded marketplace that really how you stand out is everything. And what I hear you saying is one way is to make sure that you do all the research and then make sure that you're presenting yourself well, both written and verbally and in person. Correct?
So glad you reinforced the word research out of that, because it's not just research with the job description. Researching the company, the hiring manager on LinkedIn, using social media to know more about the individuals that you're going to be meeting with, mm-hmm. the trends in the company, it's all online. So taking hours and hours to do research will make a difference to the hiring manager.
You know, that makes so much sense. So the truth is the power is, we have a lot more power than maybe we think we do in an economy like this. You're saying if we really research and figure out exactly what they're looking for and we can really match it, then those are the things to highlight and we increase our chances of landing the position.
Oh, you'll stand out, and that is the key. Remember, the first stage is actually passing through what is often a 22-year-old screener, just who's putting piles of resumes into yes, no, and maybe. So just to present yourself effectively to someone who's not the hiring manager, they're screening for me, the hiring manager. So yes, clearing all the hurdles and to be the best, because only one person is chosen for the job.
Right, and then you tell the person screening what to look for, what to accept, what to reject, and that sort of thing. What sorts, and is that the grammar and those sorts of things? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's much more than that. They have a checklist, okay. Such as education requirements. I need these skills. I need a certain number of years in marketing skills. And that screener will look at the resume or read the cover letter and look for those. And if there are enough gaps, you'll go in the no pile. So all the criteria in the job description, boom, 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 list them on the left and then map yourself on the right. And see how great a story it is that you are a fit for their position. That's what the screener is doing.
Oh, okay. I love that. All right. So, well, you know, something that you hear very commonly in this day and age, Dana, is that there are no good jobs available these days. What's your take on that?
There are great jobs available. Now, what's the definition of a good job? Starts with you, the candidate. Do you have a goal? Once you have a clear goal, then you will find the jobs out there. Now, I believe people say that because they've been applying and applying the same old way over and over again, and they have no success. And that is a type of excuse, if there are no jobs out there. Now, I realize for some, you have to change your goal to accommodate your local market. If you are in a city that doesn't have exactly what you do, then you need to rethink your goal. Don't give up. Just either broaden it or change careers, and that's what a lot of people are doing, is repurposing themselves.
How important is it to keep a positive attitude? I mean, I could probably answer that question myself, but how important is that? I mean, people get discouraged.
It is extremely frustrating, and I've been in job search mode myself multiple times, and it is hard. Now, it's okay to find your support group, if you will, friends, family, to really say, wow, this is getting me down. However, turning on that performance, if you get an interview, when you get the phone interview, when you get the face-to-face, you need to leave that at the doorstep and be happy and upbeat, because the minute a hiring manager smells that, oh, I'm down or I had a bad experience with another manager, if you bring that in to a future work environment, that will be a danger sign for the new company.
Okay.
They want to hire happy people.
Absolutely, I can see that. So what are some more of the top mistakes that job seekers are making today, and what should they do instead?
Well, they range from all the different steps in the process. So we started earlier already with the misspells and the grammatical errors. And those abound. Those start with the resume and they end with a thank you note that also has misspellings. So that's a very, very common one. Then at the interview, it starts with incredibly chronic behaviors that we want to shed. For example, being late. And many people are tardy. And I realize there's traffic always on the 90, but if you're not 30 minutes in the lobby, you're late. waiting 30 minutes early, as an example. So being late is a big one. Being inappropriately dressed, meaning not formal enough, or for women, just wearing inappropriate attire. So having one great interview outfit is very important. And then on the phone, one more mistake is on the phone not being prepared because you believe, well, it's just a phone screening. It's not all that important. When in fact, phone is on the increase as the way to interview, and you can cheat. You can have materials in front of you on the tape, on the desk, and have great answers to questions. But why are phone interviews are still a lot of mistakes are being made, Joanne?
Mm-hmm. So as I listen to these different mistakes, I wonder, are there differences in generations? I mean, do you find things happening with Gen Y, mistakes being made that aren't being done by Gen X or the baby boomers? I mean, do you see differences?
When I began the research for my book, I thought that was my premise. That was one of my hypotheses going in. And as I was writing it, so many of the mistakes are the same. I'd say 95% are the same, regardless if they're college hires, MBAs, all the way through senior executives.
Wow.
However, the common one now for millennials in particular are their written word because the confusion with texting.
Mm.
So they tend to truncate even in an email networking for a job. They'll think that's okay to kind of be hiya and casual or thanks, THX. So no typing with the thumbs. So the millennials are getting that a little too confused. But other than that, the rest of the generations are all making the same mistakes, unfortunately, and that's what we want to correct.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, we have you, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You did touch on social media a little bit earlier, checking LinkedIn and that sort of thing, but let's go into that a little bit more. How important is social media for job seekers, and how can they use it to really enhance their reaching their goals?
Social media is increasing so rapidly as it relates to hiring managers recruiting from social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. Those three are the most important. I predict, Joanne, that in 5 years, hiring managers won't post a job description any longer. They'll just go to LinkedIn and find their candidates by keyword searching. So if we back up to today, candidates, you need to be on all three. You need to have a 100% profile on LinkedIn. Well done. It needs to match your resume, and you need to be found. If you're not on LinkedIn, you don't exist.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
that's very definite thing that people have to do is get on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Now, social media can also hurt you. So many hiring managers and recruiters are going to Facebook, as an example, to see if there's any reason why they shouldn't hire you. So get rid of all those party pictures and clean up your Facebook because you are being watched on social media.
We're talking to Dana Manciagli about her book, Cut the Crap, and that has to do with mistakes that job seekers are making and that sort of thing. Why is it that job seekers need so much help, Dana? I mean, why? And why are you the person really to help them? How are you different from all the other career experts out there?
Unfortunately, not only do we have a crisis in our country due to college debt being at its highest level, but this is the one topic not taught at the high school or college level. Therefore, if you're even an executive today, 50 plus, you never learned it. So that's number one, is it's not taught, and it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the career placement centers do the best they can, but that's not a required course. The second one is that it's a new era, that everything's changed. So those who have successfully job searched are out of touch. I call them my job search dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not on social media. They haven't updated their resume with keywords. And they're not writing cover letters any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to reboot. Well, I'm the one to say, because I come fresh out of corporate America for 30 years, not only watching the trends, but recently hiring hundreds, I'm the one to say, come on, there's a better way, and here it is. I'm giving you the end-to-end process. If you just did these simple steps and avoided these mistakes, you will have a much higher likelihood of landing the job you want quicker.
Okay, you sold me. Hey, why did you leave Microsoft anyway? You just left recently, didn't you?
Yes, love my career at Microsoft, and I had a two-month sabbatical and was volunteering on job search to universities, college campuses, and executives, and it was my hobby, and it's now my passion, my legacy for the rest of my life. So I'm donating my time and devoting my book proceeds to Junior Achievement, and just devoting my time to helping millions. This is such a crisis today in not only our country, but globally, that it's what I want to be doing full time.
Well, you seem like the perfect person to be doing it, that's for sure. So what are the biggest takeaways for Cut the Crap? We're nearing the end of the interview here. So what would you like to leave people with? What are the most important things that they need to be aware of?
I want them to be aware of, number one, that there is so much help around them. All they need to do is seek it out. The internet is filled with wonderful people giving information and templates for great resumes, great techniques. My book as well, reach out and read it. Grab that resource. So that's number one, is get help. It's out there. Don't try to do this yourself. Don't try to figure it out. We have it all for you. The second takeaway is it's a full-time job. Even if you're working or if you're not working, you need to devote more time and use tools to stay organized around it. Hmm. So that full-time job is a full-time project. And so my second takeaway is project manage this or it will get away from you. You will make mistakes with follow-up and winning that job if you don't have the proper tools. And my book delivers all those tools free for you, free downloads. And the third one is job search is a performance. Play the game. Play the odds game and get many, many opportunities cooking at the same time. Play the performance game. Dress up, smile, be the part, and you will get that job.
All right, Dana Manciagli, thank you so much. By the way, where is your book available? How can people get their hands on a copy?
It's on Amazon today as not only a paperback, but a Kindle version, and Smashwords as a download to your PC.
Okay, Cut the Crap is the name of the book. Pick up a copy and go get that job. Dana, thanks for being here. I hope you'll come back and talk with us again sometime soon.
Thank you, Joanne, and you bet.